Hey, welcome in time for Daily Editorial. You know, the thing that caught my eye today, probably not the most important thing of the day, but certainly tells you where my mind is coming from. Governor DeSantis of Florida fired the prosecutor who was backed significantly by George Soros. What do you think about that, Jimmy?
I think it was a bold move. A lot of people are screaming politics. Of course, all the Democrats are screaming politics, and the competition for the governor's race against him is actually saying that, you know, this is terrible and it's tyrannical. But apparently, I think Andrew Warren's his name, the Tampa Bay state prosecutor, he's elected into his office. But he has publicly stated that he would not enforce the state law banning on abortion after 15 weeks. And he's also come out with on a number of issues and said that he was not going to enforce, he'd selectively enforce the law. So basically, Ron DeSantis said, look, you can't be a prosecutor, just pick and choose which laws you prosecute. So, and I think it's symptomatic of the undermining of American judicial system by George Soros's funding to get these people elected that are actually undermining law and order and U.S. law around the country.
You know, I have a question for you about Soros. I've read a couple of his economic books, you know, and they make a lot of sense, but they are totally devoid. The books that I read were totally devoid of anything other than economic theory. Is Soros an admitted communist, Jimmy?
No, he's not an admitted communist, but he's involved in a lot of different countries in a lot of different ways with an agenda.
Yeah.
And of course, back in 2000, 2001, when I was in the Republic of Georgia, he had a tremendous influence on issues around there. In fact, a friend of mine was working for the Soros Foundation as a lawyer and went back and worked for him in one of his headquarters offices in Seattle afterwards. And he's trying to shape humanity. You know, he's working very excessively hard at attempting to shape events in a way that one is in a political agenda that's a very socialist, ideologically driven agenda, and two, that financially benefits him. And I can give you some examples when he was involved with basically shorting the pound quite a few years ago.
Made a lot of money.
Yeah, over $1 billion.
Yeah.
And almost bankrupt. Well, technically did bankrupt the Bank of England.
Yeah.
But I can tell you another thing that I know, that he actually came out after a meeting with a foreign power, with another new Eastern European government that had just come out from underneath the Soviet umbrella, and made a statement that in one direction that caused the currency to collapse, when in fact he made a statement that was 180 degrees different than the meeting he was in. And I know this for a fact. I've seen the transcript. I know what had happened. But basically, he tubed a foreign government and their currency in order to capitalize on it, make a ton of money, and undermine that government at the same time.
Yeah.
Very influential, very powerful, and has enough money to shape markets in many different ways.
Sure.
And of course, has had a tremendous amount of money and influence in U.S. elections, specifically in the Democratic Party, but more importantly, in by funding prosecutors that are very lenient on severe crime in urban areas, on the idea of social justice and ideological justice. Maybe racial justice, and what it's done is created tremendous problems, and we can see that in San Francisco, we can see it in LA, we see it in Seattle, we see it in Philadelphia, New York, a number of places around the country. And in fact, I understand that he has somewhere over 70 prosecutors in different cities that basically affect about a fifth of the population of the United States, and is undermining the rule of law. in those very influential major urban areas.
Well, I think it's about time for Big Al to pick up a book, a biography of this guy, because as I said, I've read some of his economic stuff, and his economic theory is sound, but not when it comes to with political injections in it, Jim. No question about that. Let's talk a little bit about the employment numbers that came out today. You know, one thing I learned from an economist who used to be a pretty good friend of mine, he passed away, but he said of all of the numbers that are available, which supposedly judge the soundness of an economy, the ones that are the least, far and away, the least beneficial are the employment numbers, because the employment numbers, you can say one thing and it will mean something entirely different. For example, the labor partition rate, as you brought up off mic, Jimmy, that we had that pertained to the numbers, the labor numbers today really show that we're actually in worse shape than we are in better shape when you factor in the labor participation rate.
Yeah, so the employment numbers showed significant gains. I think around 500, over 550, 568,000, something like that, in this quarter. Of course, we'll see revisions that come out eventually, which only brought us to the same level that we were prior to the lockdowns in 2020. So that just brought us even what we're with this new rate. But of course, there have been some large announcements of companies cutting labor, which may have an impact in the next month's numbers. So we don't know, but in the labor force participation rate, that dropped 239,000. That means Americans, 239,000, this is according to the BLS, and again, all these numbers are somewhat, they're estimates. They're not exactly accurate. They will be revised. And even when they're revised, they may not be accurate. But that number shows 239,000 people drop out of the labor force. That's retirements. That's people that just didn't desire to come back to work. So the labor numbers of who's in the workforce is actually still below the peak under the Trump administration. And of course, the employment numbers are about have finally reached parity with the Trump administration. So and that that we had a slight a one a 0.1% drop in unemployment rate with these new numbers, but again, they don't reflect anything positive, other than we've got more people out there that actually may be working. We don't know how many are part-time, full-time employees. It does look like service sector and hospitality went up quite a bit, and that's likely because of summer holidays and summer vacations, and that's of course in July. And we were having a huge shortfall with people in the service industry up until that point. So, maybe there are, younger people that are getting back into, after school that are getting to work. It's very difficult to get an accurate assessment of an impact on the economy with those types of numbers. And that's the only positive number that's come out in the last, 6 months on the economy. So it's hard to judge if there's going to have any positive impact.
Well, I think time will tell, and unfortunately for the Democrats, maybe fortunately, but I don't really think it's going to turn out that way. But fortunately for the Democrats, the numbers aren't really—they haven't been put to bed yet—but they will be certainly by the November election time, Jim.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. It's going to be difficult. A lot of people are expecting that the Fed's going to go ahead and go another 75 basis points for the next round in September of interest rate increases to try to cut the inflation numbers. We don't know. You may see an impact in the next month's inflation numbers because of the lower gas prices, which are not really this effectively put into the numbers the way they were in the past. But inflation's having a very diff, you know, is a very difficult problem that they're behind. The Fed and, of course, others are behind in trying to manage, and primarily because of the amount of money that's been put into the system through these, government subsidized programs and this giveaways. And what they're doing right now, what the administration or the regime is doing right now, is trying to push through with the Democratic House and Senate this bill that will it's going through the Senate tonight, that will go or through the weekend. They're going to argue over it, that will try to cut inflation, but it's going to cut inflation by increasing spending. And the answer to the
No, wait a minute, wait a minute. It's
that's
going
what
to
they
cut
say.
inflation by increasing spending? Come on,
Yes.
man. You can't be serious.
No, but the way they, in modern monetary theory, MMT, then what you do is you increase taxes. So you take more money out of the system. That's what they are counting on. The problem with this theory, one, it doesn't work, but the other problem is the inflation gets out of hand. You try to increase taxes, you may get revenues, but you're also increasing your debt and your deficit on a routine basis to the point where you can't balance them out. And
Right.
more importantly, it's a lagging response to the inflationary problem with the tax revenue collection. So you're going to see the results of any potential positive action on inflation not till way into probably first or second quarter of 2023.
Right.
So, I don't see how they think this is going to help them. It's just a very unsound policy. The only thing that I can think that they believe they're going to do is buffalo people into believing they're doing something by passing this bill and then throwing more money out there very quickly to try to buy people off, which is exactly what California's done by giving these checks out to people in, Gavin Newsom's menagerie of a state out there.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the agenda here, is to try to buffalo their way and basically the facade of they're doing something when in fact they're actually undermining the American economy on a routine basis, as well as sovereignty, security, and every other aspect of our lives.
You got some good thoughts, Jim. We've talked about Soros, we've talked about inflation. I'm going to get a Soros biography, by the way. Anyone in particular that you think I should pick up?
No, I really I don't trust anything that's out there. I will say that one thing that's worth watching is the 60 Minutes interview from many, many years ago. I think it was in 93 when they talk about his hint directly to him about his connection with the Nazis and Nazi in Germany and his own native Hungary, and his participation
Yeah.
in some of the collecting up of materials and assets of local Jewish families. He's a survivor. He's got an agenda. Unfortunately, has a tremendous amount of financial influence, and he's one of those people that I think are believe they're smarter than others and don't believe in a democratic system.
Yeah.
And that's what is more bothersome to me, the number of elites, the globalist ideologues, they're out there trying to shape humanity without giving the people that are actually,
Yeah.
suffering under their policies a say. Is not only is it terrible, but I think it's going to come back
Yeah. I'll
and
pick up something.
slap back
Jim,
at
I
them.
wanted to ask you a question, by the way. The news yesterday said that Alex Jones was fined $4 million. And today in the headlines is saying no, he was fined $42 million. What's the number?
So my understanding is yesterday's decision was the actual penalties from the court case. Today was the punitive damages. So collectively, they were to pay the family members punitive damages of 42, the 42 million
Wow.
plus dollars. Now, here's the problem with this entire thing. I didn't agree with Alex Jones and what he said on the Sandy Hook issue. But one thing I do agree with, and I'm just a fervent believer in, is that each of us have our opinions and our right to express
Right.
those opinions. And every time we undermine that through these financial penalties, we take away somebody's legitimate concerns out there. Yeah, there's a price to be paid by doing things like this. And I'm going to go back to the Los Angeles Clippers owner, Sterling, who was fined and found incompetent because of, he was angry with his girlfriend, his young girlfriend, for messing around with other NBA with the NBA players on his team. And because of the words that he used, he was basically, the team was taken from him, and then he was found incompetent in court to manage his own affairs. And that was an incredibly bad precedent to set for free speech in America.
Right.
And it was, in my view, it was the beginning point of this pressure to use whatever power necessary to silence opposition or things that you don't like through legal means. And I think it's a terrible precedent that we will suffer from for a long time.
Yeah. Okay, there you have it. Thoughts on George Soros. Number one, thoughts a little bit about the employment numbers that came out, BLM numbers. Thoughts a little bit about the Clippers. Thoughts a little bit about Alex Jones. Jim, thanks so much.
Yeah, hey, Al, let me add one more thing that I think everyone ought to pay attention to, and hopefully our listeners are going to pay attention to it. Christopher Wray in the hot seat in the Senate over FBI politicalization.
Right.
And if you want to watch and listen to some of the things that have been said and done, I think that's a very, very important issue. Something has to be done about the FBI and Christopher Wray and the Attorney General in order to get this this nation back on track for a legitimate sense of justice and trust and faith in the system.
Well, there you have it. Okay, thanks, Jimmy.
Maybe you bet, Al.
If anything big happens tomorrow, we'll do it again.
Sounds good.
See ya.